All right, today's daf is Bavasra daf Kuf Samach Ches. We left off in daf Kuf Samach Zayin and Beis. We got to about four lines before the end of the page. Five lines before the end of the page. A little tired, not seeing straight. Five lines before the end of the page. Says the Gemara, Huhu Tavra, there was a shovar that the Havachasimala Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba, that Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba was signed on it. Asil Kameh Hahi Itza. So a woman came to Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba, Amrelei Lava Nahavai, and she said, "Look, the shofar is about me, but it's not me. I wasn't involved. This can't be about me." Amar Ananami Amri Lahu Lav Ihihi. So he said, "You know, I saw the woman that we were writing the shofar for, and I saw the name, and I was telling them that it couldn't possibly be you. You know, that it didn't look like the right woman that we were writing the shofar for." Va'amruli, and they said to me, "Mekashu Dekashala Ubagala." Ubagala kala, that no, you think it wasn't her, but Mekashu Dukashala, if you look at Rashbam, his kina ukvar nishtana v'nasa kala ava, she looks different and sounds different, because when women get older, sometimes they look different, they don't look the same way as they did when they were young, and their voices change sometimes, her voice got a little bit raspier, a little deeper, so that's why you think it's not her. But they kept on reassuring me, "Don't worry, trust me, it's her." So Abaye said, "What's the halacha now? Do we trust the shofar? Do we not trust the shofar?" I mean, Rabbi Yirmiyah said that, "Look, my initial inclination was to say that you're right, was to say that that it wasn't you, but they convinced me otherwise, and I accepted, I allowed myself to be convinced." So Amar Abaye, Afal Gavda Amar Rabbanan. Even though the Rabbanan say, "Kivan Shehigit Shuveinu Chozer Magid," even though the Rabbanan say that once a person says testimony, he can't go and backtrack on the testimony and change it. Surba Mirabbanan Lav Urche the Medak. A Tzurb Mirabbanan is not normal for him to check carefully. What does it mean it's not normal for him to check carefully? Why wouldn't a Tzurb Mirabbanan check carefully? Adrava, I would think a Tzurb Mirabbanan would certainly check carefully before he says Eidos. So Rashbam explains, no, it's not about checking carefully in general when he says Eidos. Tzurb Mirabbanan kon Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba lav darkei lemeidak ulahakir binashim kol kach. It's not normal for him to be so accustomed to looking at women. And the reason he was allowed to change his mind was because his initial testimony that this was not her is invalid. It's not called chozer magid. It's not called changing his testimony. With that which he says at the end, that it is the right woman. Just that her voice changed. If he says that, you know, at first I wasn't looking carefully because it's a woman and I'm not looking carefully at women, but once he changes his mind and he changes his testimony and he says, "No, now I am convinced that in fact it is you, you just have a deeper voice," so then it is normal for him to change his mind. So there's a lot of discussion of this line of the Gemara. The Ritva writes, from here we see that which the Mishnah says, that Sarach Shehe Makiran, that you need to recognize the people involved, that's even if you're Makiran Al Pi Eidos Isha O Karov. Even if you're Makiran based on a woman or a Karov telling you who they are, that this is their name, this is who we're speaking about. Because if you're going to say that it's Dafka two kosher Aden that have to be made to you, so how could you say it's Surmi Rabbanan's love Urche the Medak? If he listened to two Aden to define who the person is, that's Medak. That's knowing exactly who the person is, and how could he ever be Choser? The fact that he's allowed to be Choser tells you that initially he was trusting less than two Aden. So you see that you don't need to have two Aden to identify who the people are, even though the Mishnah says you need to be Makiran. You need to recognize them. So that which you have to be Makiran is even Al Pi Eidos Isha, even Al Pi Eidos Karov, it doesn't need two Kasher Eidim. Because once you're going to believe in Eid Echad, whenever we say Eid Echad is Neman, it's Afilu Pasul, Afilu Karov, right? Like Eid Echad and Bisurin, when we trust in Eid Echad, when it comes to Yisuf HaHeter, we trust our wives to tell us our food is kosher, that they serve us. And that's an Eid Echad. It's not a Kasher Eid, it's a woman. And it's a Karov, it's Ishto Kigufo, right? But nevertheless, that's the rule of Eid Echad. So why is Eidos Isha or Karov good over here? So the Ritva writes, because something that's asud lehiskalos, something that one day you're going to be able to tell the difference anyway, because it may become clear, become evident who the person is. So even though generally we're not going to be samech and bal davar regarding this, but to be samichan in ed echad or edus isha or edus avikarov, that we will be samichan. Fine, that's the day of the Ritva. Rav Chanan points out in Kovitz Shira, most tough resh chaf beis, he says if it's sumir abanan is not looking at women carefully, right? How could we be samichan as edus at all? Meaning, and how is it mutter for him to ever be made? If the assumption is that when he first says his edus, he's not looking carefully who the woman really is, so how is he allowed to be made? Yeah, so if he changes his mind, we allow him to change his mind because his original edus is so weak. Well, then how do we allow the original edus in the first place if the original edus is so weak? If he's not even looking at who the people are? So he says, no, most of the time, they don't make a mistake. And we're not choshe shema ta'u, unless they say beferish that they were that they were towing. Unless they say beferish that they made a mistake. If they say beferish that they made a mistake, so then we're makabel the fact that they're choser, because we understand that it's possible that they made a mistake. However, according to what we just said from the Ritva, that you could rely on Eidus Isha Vakarov, then we don't have a kasha at all, because it's mutter for them to be summit on Eidus Isha Vakarov in regards to who the person is. That's why we accept them. They're not saying it on their own. They're trusting an Eidus of an Isha or a Karov. They're trusting someone who's able to say Eidus about what's really going on. Now the question really is, though, so we said Sumer Rabbanan is not expected to look at women carefully, and therefore he's allowed to be Chozer Magid. Is he allowed to be Chozer Magid about recognition of a man also? Right? Is it Dafka, a woman, that we say that he's allowed to be Chozer Magid, or is a woman just an example? So the Rashbam seems to emphasize women, right? It's Lav Orche. The Gemara never said that it was about women, right? The Gemara just says Lav Orche the Medak. Rashbam says, no, it's Lav Orche the Medak to look at women. So says the Beis Yosef in Choshem Mishpat Simon Chav Tes, that you see from the Rashbam that it's Dafka by Eidus regarding recognition of a woman that the Gemara said it's Subim Rabban Kibi Chozer Magid, because it's not his derech to be mistakel at women. But when it comes to any other Eiduyos, he's not going to be Naman to be Chozer Magid. And he says you can see that from the Torah as well, because the Torah says, his Lashon is, that Naman Atabal Chacham Lachzerbo, not his Lashon, but the placement of the Halacha. The Torah says that Tamil Chacham can be Chozer Magid, and where does he say the Halacha? In Evan Ha'ezer. Where should the halacha be? Choshem Mishpat. No, this is about Dine Mamanis. Why does he include in Evan Ha'ezer? Unbelievable diak of the Beis Yosef. I mean, the Torah doesn't even say that it's about women. He just says, Tamil Chacham B'Chozer Magid. Beis Yosef says, based on where the Torah chose to place that din, you see that it's dafka about Eidus Isha. However, he says, not everyone agrees to this. Rabbi Yeruchim writes, Sober Mirabanan Afal Pi Shehigid Choser Magid. And meaning he quotes the Lashon of the Gemara basically without adding any commentary like the Rashbam that it has to do about Eidus Isha. So he also tries to say, well, it's not against the Rashbam. Maybe he also accepts the Pshat of the Rashbam. He's just being more brief in his description. But it is curious. It's curious that he wouldn't mention anything about this relating to Eidus Isha. Okay, now in Choshem Mishpat, the Mechaber paskins that you need to recognize, the Edom need to recognize the Lova, right? Ploni Bar Ploni, and in Shtar Mecher, the Mocher, and in the Shover, you have to recognize the Lova, the Malva, etc. And when you're Somich on an Ish or a Karov, and it turns out that you made a mistake, so Tzur Mir Abanan is allowed to change his mind. Good, that's how the Mechaber paskins. Okay, now just one more point on this line of the Gemara. The Rivash has a discussion, the Balamar, the Rivash and the Tshuva, and the Balamar write that you could see from here, we have proof from our Gemara, that any mistake that's very common for Eden to make, they're believed to say about themselves that they made that mistake, and in the mail, it's not going to be a problem with Chozer Magid. Meaning the idea of Tzur B'mer Abanan, we discussed, is it Dafka Isha or anybody else? Is it Dafka Tzur B'mer Abanan or anybody else? So the Rivash and the Balmar say, no, Tzur B'mer Abanan is just an example. Because Tzur B'mer Abanans don't look at women, so that's where it's very common for Tzur B'mer Abanan to make a mistake. Other people may make other common mistakes. Anytime it's a common mistake, we believe the person to say, the kosher aid to say, look, I made a mistake, But I backtrack, and we allow them to backtrack. So even in Am Haaretz, for any reason that he says that that he was unable to check carefully or he didn't check carefully, and it sounds like it's something that an Am Haaretz would make a mistake by, he can be chozer umagid. Right? That's the chiddush of the Balam Ma'ar and the Rivash. The Ravid, however, in his Hasagos on the Balam Ma'ar, disagrees. He says, no, there's no raya from our Gemara. We dafka are tole a ta'us by someone who's ain darko ledaktik. And the Gemara was mechadesh that it's a tzumer abanu's ain darko ledaktik. We don't have anybody else about whom we will say that. That's not their derech to be medaktik. Fine, so that is this chiddush of Tzur Rabbanan. Says the Gemara Vayter, building off of this chiddush, Ha'u Tavra, another story, there was a shofar, Dav Chasam Alei Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba. Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba again was signed on it, Amra Lei Lav Ana Havai. And again, the woman said, it wasn't me. Amra La, he said to her, Ivra, Ant Havas, it was you, I'm certain that it was you. Amar Abaye, Afal Gav Tzur Mirabana Lav Orche LeMeidak. Now over here, he insisted it was her, right? So Abaye says, even though normally Tzur Mirabana would not know for sure and would not know with such certainty, Kivan to duck, duck. Once he tells you that he does know with certainty, so then we trust him that he did know. Amar Abaye, Hait Tzur Mirabana Dazel LeKedusha Itza. And here's the also a very very big line. He says, Tzur Mirabanan, who goes through Mekadesh, a woman, is trying to get married, Nidbar Ama'aretz Badei, Dilma Machlefu Lamine, should bring an Ama'aretz along with him, who's not afraid to look at women, because they might pull a switch. So Tzur Mirabanan should make sure to bring an Ama'aretz with him to make sure that they don't switch the woman. Now the Rambam writes, very famously, the Rambam writes in Yisurei Bia, that it's Mutul Istakel, Bifneha Pnuya Ulabadka, you're allowed to look at a Pnuya to check her out, Ben Basula Ben Ba'ula, Kadesha Yira im Hina Ba'inav Yisa'ana, to see that if she's beautiful, if she's someone that you're attracted to, before you marry her. Right? The Gemara learns it out from Vahafta L'Recha Kamocha, that because we want you to love your wife and we want you to have positive feelings toward her, we don't want a man to feel like he was stuck with someone that he's not attracted to. So he's required to look at her before he marries her, and that's not an iser adraba, it's a chiyuv. So frek the Ravid, Amr Avraham, says the Ravid, what do you mean? The Chacham say that when you mekadesh a woman, bring an amaretz with you, because you're not supposed to look. Talmud Chacham is not going to look. It's not the derech of a Talmud Chacham to look. Not that it's aser. I mean, you can't bring an amaretz with you and tell him to look if it's aser to look, right? To just look to identify her. But it's not roi for a Talmud Chacham to look at her features carefully. And that's why the Ravid says. So it sounds like the Ravid says that even though the Gemara tells us that it's aser adam shekadesh esa isha achirena, that you're not allowed to be mekadesh woman until you see her, but the Talmidei Chacham shouldn't do that. Tamid Chacham should bring Am Haaretz with them. It's tafka for Am Haaretz that we say that he has to look himself. Tamid Chacham gets someone else to look. So how we miyashiv the Rambam? It seems to be against this Gemara. I mean, it really seems to be a steer in Gemaras, but it seems to be directly against this Gemara when the Rambam says that it's ra'oi for everybody, even the Talmud Chacham, etc. So the Magen Mishnah is miyashiv the Rambam, who's not mechalik between Talmud Chacham and other people. He says, because certainly it's true that a Talmud Chacham also has to be mistakel at a single girl before he chooses to marry her. That which we say that he should take an Am Haaretz with him, because a Tzur Mirabanan, even if he looks at her and he checks her one time, the reason he needs to bring an Amaris with him is because what's going to happen? He's going to check her one time and look at her and see, okay, I'm attracted to her. Then when the wedding comes, he looked at her once, right? Then the wedding comes, he's going to say, well, she looks very different. And what are they going to tell him? What do you know about women? When women get all made up and they put on a wedding dress and they change their hair or whatever, they always look very different. And he's not going to know how different is different. Right? Yeah, but why is she 3 inches shorter and her voice is totally different? And that's just what women do, you know. It's that's well, he doesn't have enough experience seeing women in different contexts to be able to differentiate, says the Magen Mishnah. So yes, he has to look, But he still needs to bring an Amaretz with him to make sure that it's really the same woman. Otherwise, he has no way of knowing that it's really the same woman. That's how the Magen Mishnah tries to be Miyashev the Rambam. Now, what's interesting is the Ravid really could have had a better taina. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Ishos, Perikim Alachi Yates, V'chein ha'ish ein ro'i lo she'ikadish ketana v'lo yikadish isha ad shir ena. In Hilchos Ishos, the Rambam says, don't be mekadish a woman until you see her, v'tia k'sheira be'enav, shema lo timtza chein be'enav, v'nimtza megarsha, o shochev imavusona. We want to make sure that you find her attractive, because if you don't, we're afraid that he might divorce her, or we're afraid that when he sleeps with her, he's going to have negative feelings, and that's very bad, both in terms of their relationship, as well as Al-Pi Kabbalah and whatever else. It's very bad for that to happen. So in that spot, the Rambam doesn't say anything. He doesn't say "Ein roi l'talmud chacham lasos kein," right? Based on our Gemara, in that spot, the Rabbi just leaves it go, right? It's only when it comes to Hilchos Yisurei Bia that the Rabbi speaks up. So why is it that he didn't speak in Hilchos Ishos when the Rambam talks about getting married in the first place? So that's a very difficult to understand why the Rabbi would dafka put his hasaga in one spot and not the other. So he quotes over here in the Biri Adaf in the footnote. He says that. Perhaps it could be Miyashiv the Ravid, that even though he's moda that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to look at a Pnuya, at a single girl, to see if she's attractive to him, and the Gemara, in fact, in Kiddushin Daf Mem Aleph says he's not allowed to be Mekadesh a woman until he does that, and that's why he wasn't Masig on the Rambam. But that which the Rambam in Hilchos Ishos, but that which the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yisurei Bia, that it's Mutu Listakel Bifnei HaPnuya, he doesn't just say Listakel, he says Mutu Listakel Bifnei HaPnuya U Levadka, and to really check her out, whether she's a besula or a ba'ula, to see if she's attractive. So the Rambam says that he should be mistaka labadka, meaning mistaka labadka implies he's really checking more than just saying, oh, okay, she looks attractive. No, it's much more than that. He says, that's what the Ravid says, no, Talmud Chacham shouldn't be able to detect every detail of facial features. You could, right, this is what we discussed yesterday a little bit. You could see things and just, you know, blink, just quick, you know, you get a quick, okay, that looks fine. And then you could start really looking at every detail and every, so you would think that it's an important enough, it's an important enough relationship that you're going to have that you want to know. But sometimes when you look at every single detail and you see every single little flaw or whatever, that's not so healthy for the relationship. Sometimes it's better to say, okay, she's attractive enough, we can work on the other things, and then I'll probably get over whatever little details there are that are, I could probably get past that as long as she's basically attractive and we have enough in common that we could work on the marriage. So that when the Rambam says ulavadka, that's where the Ravid doesn't like it. He thought that's too much to go so far and to be bodekar. Now, based on this, we could be mitaritz to the Gemara and Basra much earlier in the Masechta. Here we are almost at the end, we're a week away, and we can look back at the first parak. In the very first parak of Masechta Baba Basra, Daf Tez Zayin Omer Aleph, we said that Avram didn't look at Sarah until they went down to Mitzrayim, right? Hine no yodati ki isha yifas mara'at, right? He says, now I know that you are a beautiful woman. And Rashi and Chumash points out, Ad Achshav, up until that point, he had no idea. He didn't know that she was a beautiful woman. How could Avram Avinu violate the Gemara Kiddushim Amalv? The Gemara says explicitly, you have to look to make sure she is attractive before you marry her. So maybe it could be Mitaritz along the same lines. Avram looked to make sure she was basically attractive, but now he looked at every single detail and every facial feature and every whatever, and he looked at every, and she was perfect. Everything was there. There was mamish, no mum whatsoever, and he couldn't believe it. And that's what he was surprised at. That's what he was saying, hine no yadati. Okay, fine. Vaiter in the Gemara. We're at the two dots toward the top of Kuf Samach Chesam and Aleph. Va'abal no sin schar. So he said that the husband is the one that pays the money that's what we learned yesterday, that even though you write a get for a man, for a man, even though the woman is not there, if you're a sofer and the man asks you to write a get, you don't have to first consult with the woman to make sure she's okay with you writing the get. You can write the get for the man. Who pays for the get? The husband pays for the get, right? The husband is one that's nosing the schar of the get. Fine. And the scar of the shover as well, right? The Gemara says, the Mishnah says. So says the Gemara. So the Baal pays for the writing of the get and the writing of the shover. My time, why? Damakra v'kasa v'nasan. Pasuk says v'kasav nasan. So basically, we see from there that he has to be the owner of the get. He has to be the one that owns the get when he gives it. V'idna delav dinan hachi. Why don't we do that nowadays? So we put that responsibility on the woman so that it shouldn't be delayed. How many times do women have to wait months and years to receive a get? So we want to streamline the process as much as possible. If we make the guy pay for it, so it's unlikely to happen nearly as quickly as if we make the woman pay for it. So it's really the takanasi isha that we make her pay for it just to make it go more quickly. Now the Ritva says, even though the Torah said, we just quote a pasuk in the Torah, kasa v'nasan, he has to own it, no? So we make the woman pay for it, midaraisa, it's not a good get then, isn't it, right? Midaraisa, he doesn't own it. So the Ritva says, what do we do with the kasa v'nasan? How does it help that the woman pays the sofer, and that's not the kasa v'nasan? So says the Ritva, the chachamim are makna to the husband the money that the isha pays to the sofer. Hefker, based in hefker. That the money that the woman pays to the sofer, we view it as his money. And it's as if she's just his shliach paying for him, and therefore he is the rightful owner of the get. Now the Sefer Get Pashut asks on this Ritva that even though Hefker Beis and Hefker, what does Hefker Beis and Hefker mean? Does Hefker Beis and Hefker mean that Beis has the right to tell you that money that belongs to you now belongs to somebody else? Doesn't Hefker Beis and Hefker, the words sound like Beis Din doesn't have the right to go that far? Beis Din has the right to tell you the money that's in your possession is Hefker, but to then make it belong to somebody else? No, that person has to come and be Konan if they want it to belong to them, asks the Get Pashut. How do you see, so what you see that is that the Ritva holds no. Hefker Beis Din Hefker is that powerful that Hefker Beis Din Hefker could transfer the Rishus, transfer the ownership from one person to another person. And he writes that he could be Medayi from the Torah. The Torah says, Mepnei takanas agunos, tiknu chacham she'isha titen schar shal asofer v'tiknu labal. That the takana is a woman will pay the sofer and be makna the get to the husband. What do you see? The woman has to actually be makna the get to the husband to be mekayim, the pasuk in Chumash, right? To be mekayim because of anasan. If she doesn't actually do the kinyan, Bezin can't do that kinyan on your behalf. So the truth is, this is a well-known machlokas in the Achronim, and it also appears in the Rishonim, whether Hefker Bezin Hefker allows for the transference of property from one person to another person, or just makes something completely Hefker. The Rabbein Yonah holds that Bezin can be mafkia mamon from one person, but cannot be makna to another person. The Rashba holds that Beis Din does have the ability even to be makna to another person. And obviously the Ritva seems to be in agreement with the Rashba, which very often is the case anyway, so that the Beis Din does have the ability to be makna. Now what's this machlokas taloyan? So the Achronim explain, the Amshel Shlomo and Yevamos Perek Yud, and the Avnei Miluim, they all explain that it's based on the Gemara in Gittin that discusses Hefker Beis and Hefker and what the source of Hefker Beis and Hefker is. The Gemara in Gittin has Machlokas, where we learn Hefker Beis and Hefker from. Rabbi Yitzchak says, we learn from that which it says in Ezra, Kol Asher Lo Yavo L'Shlosha Siyamim Ba'atzas Hasarim V'Azakenim Yecharam Kol Rechusho. Right, what's the threat? Anyone who doesn't come, so his rechush will be made a cherim, will be taken away from him. And Reb Lazar learns it from that which it says by being manchel Eretz Yisrael. Ela nachlos asher nachlo Elazar Hakohen v'Yoshua Benun v'Rashi Avos. So and that we learn from there, just like the Avos or manchilin espenayim, whatever they wanted. So too the Rashim, the heads of the Kehila, the heads of the Jewish people, were able to be manchil to the Jewish people whatever they wanted. So what do you see? According to Rabbi Yitzchak, that we learn from Yecharam Kol Rechusho, so all you see is the koach of the Beis Din to make something that's yours no longer belong to you. Yecharam Kol Rechusho does not mean we're going to make it belong to somebody else. But if you say that the source of it is based on the pasuk about being manchil to specific people, that's Hefker Beis and Hefker. So you see the koach of Hefker Beis and Hefker is even to be makna to specific people. That it's even not just take it away from one person, but to actually give it to other people. I just heard Rav Shechter, actually no, I just read in Rav Shechter in his article in the RJJ Journal on Din Malchus Adina, in the very first RJJ Journal, Rav Shechter wrote an article on Din Malchus Adina, so he discussed this, it's Machlok Ksos and Nesivis also, and he said it could be a big nafkamina la halacha. When when someone does a kinyan derabanan, do they own it midaraisa, the item that they did a kinyan derabanan on? Meaning, if you do a kinyan derabanan, if you say that hefker, how does a kinyan derabanan work? That it's a form of hefker beis and hefker, and we know hefker beis and hefker is binding midaraisa, so then maybe they should own it midaraisa, right? Or maybe you say maybe no, kinyan derabanan doesn't work within hefker beis and hefker. Hefker beis and hefker would not allow you to be kona it. Hefker beis and hefker would only make it hefker. When you go and you do a kinyan derabanan on it, you're only a derabanan owner of the item. So nafka mina ladina would be, let's say you do a kinyan derabanan on a lulav the first day of Sukkot. Right, you don't have your own lulav, so someone after they take their dalet minim gives you with kinyan derabanan. What's kinyan derabanan? Hagbah without kesef, kinyan derabanan, and on Sukkot it has to be lachem. It has to belong to you. Midaraisa, it has to belong to you. This only belongs to you midarabanan. So if you say hefker beis and hefker allows for not only the beis and say it no longer belongs to the previous guy, but it even belongs to you, that's the koch of hefker beis and hefker. So then it's yours midaraisa. But if hefker beis and hefker only says that beis and has the right to make it no longer belong to the previous guy, but does not have the right to make it belong to you, so then it's not yours midaraisa. Okay, let's go weiter over here. Says the Gemara weiter. We are at the two dots. Well, there are many two dots. Kosun shtar lova af pishe malvima. We said you can write a shtar for the lova even though the malva is not there. Meaning, if someone comes to a sofer and says, "Can you write a shtar that says that I owe somebody a lot of money?" So the sofer does not have to check with the malva to see, is it okay with you if I write that somebody owes you money? Of course it's okay with the malva for you to write that. So frankly, Gemara pshita, isn't that very obvious then? So says Gemara lo tzricha beiska. We're dealing where it was in some sort of joint investment and a partnership where it's not so obvious that they both stand to gain from the shtar being written up, because yes, it says he owes him money, half of the money, and the other half he gets to keep. You can write a shtar for the mocher, even though the lokech is not there. Meaning, someone comes to a sofer and says, "Can you write a shtar that says that I sold my land, my field, to this guy, and it now belongs to him?" So you don't have to consult with the lokech if it's okay with him. Again, of course it's okay with him for you to write a shtar that he owns the land. Frakta Gemara, yeah, it's so, of course. Pshita, why does Mishnah have to tell it to me? No, we're dealing with a case over here where you sold the field because it's just such a terrible field, or it's so far away from where you live that it's impossible for you to look after it. So I might think that the person who's selling the field is gaining in a certain sense over here because it was just such a hassle to deal with that field, and therefore he should be the one that pays for the writing. So kamash mulan otherwise. Ein kosin shtari erusin v'chulei. So again, the Mishnah had said that we don't write shtari erusin v'nisuin unless both of them approve of it. Right? So pshita, again, that too is obvious. So he said, l'tzricha dafil tzur merabana denichle l'chamua l'krovei. I might think that a tzur merabana. So again, what we're questioning is not about writing it. What we're questioning is v'achasa notein schar. Right? We then say, and the chasin pays for it. So he said, pshit, of course the chasin is going to pay for it. He's the one that's gaining. He's gaining a wife out of this. Whoever gains is the one that pays for it. So there's no great chiddush in that you don't write a shtar erusin. In that the chasin pays for the shtar erusin. So it says, well, yeah, there is a great chiddush. Da'afil tzur mirabanan denichalei l'chamol l'krovei. Even if the chasin is a talmud chacham, where the father-in-law is so excited to have such a son-in-law, so you might think the father-in-law is gaining from having such a son-in-law more than the son-in-law is gaining from being in the family. Bottom line is, the son-in-law is gaining from having a wife, and there's no greater value in your life than having a wife. Even better than having a good son-in-law is having a wife. So so the chasan has to pay for it. Ein kosin shtar arisus v'kablanus. So then we said shtar arisus v'kablanus, a sharecropping agreement, has to only be written if both parties tell the sofer that they're okay with it being written, but the makabel is the one that pays for it. So pshita, isn't it obvious that the makabel is the one who pays for it? He's the one that it stands to gain. Lotzricha bebora, that he has to leave it fallow for a year, because right now it's not going to be any profit in doing anything on the field. It needs to replenish its nutrients or whatever, and therefore you might think that the makabel is not the one that's really standing to gain. It's the person whose hands it's being taken off of for the next couple of years, because it's such a long-term investment. Ein kosin shtari birurin el midashnei. And then we said when it comes to shtari birurin, it can only be written if both parties agree. and for that, they both pay for. So I asked the Gemara, my shtari birurin. What are shtari birurin? So achat targimu shtari ta'anasa. So here we say, we were targim the Mishnah, that it means shtari ta'anasa. What are shtari ta'anasa? So says the Rashbam, two sofrei adayanin would write the tainos of the balei din. One guy would say, I hold this, and I think this is what happened, and this is why he owes me money. And the other one would say, no, I defend myself in this way. They would just write down the original tainos. Why would they write down the original tainos? Why is it so important to write them down? Because if later on, right, why do you need the, what do you call it? The court, the stenographer in the court to write down everything that happens. Later on, someone's going to say, wait a second, you're saying that now? Previously you said, yeah, and they could read it back. Yeah, previously your taina was different, so you could see when someone's changing a taina. You don't have to rely on memory for that. So they would write, Shtari ta'anasa. Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba Amar, Zebor lo echad v'zebor lo echad. No, Shtari birurin is what we're going to learn in the third part of Sanhedrin in about 4 weeks. Right? Zebor lo echad v'zebor lo echad. How do you pick a Beis Din when there's a dispute between two people? So one way of picking is by Beis Din Zavla. Zebor lo echad v'zebor lo echad. Each one picks one dayan, and the two dayanim get together and they pick a third dayan, very often done nowadays. For both of them, you write their own shtaros. Each one, you write their own shtar. So lema bekofen al midas stom kamiflugi. So what are they arguing about? Maybe what they're arguing about is whether or not we're kofen al midas stom. What is midas stom? What are we talking about over here? How does midas stom relate to this? So Rashbam fills us in that the Mishnah novel says someone who says shali shali v'shalach shalach. What's mine is mine, and what's yours is yours. That's midas beninus. But yeshomrim zu midas stom. Someone who says, you know what? You mind your own business. I'll mind my own business. Whatever belongs to me is mine. I'm not going to share it with you. What belongs to you, you don't share with me. That's midas stom. So what we want to say is the Tanakama, who says shneim nosim schar, that they both pay for the joint document, and you give them one shtar amongst both of them, one shtar berurin, and if one of them says, I don't want to pay for it because I want my own shtar alone, and you should have a different shtar, I want my own and you should have your own, that sounds like midas stom. So the Tanakamu says, no, you can't do that. You can't make such an argument. We'll say, kofen al midas stom. We don't allow it to happen because it's midas stom to say, you want your own shtar, let the other guy have his own shtar. And Rav Shmuel Gamliel says that he does have a right to demand it. We'll say, we're not kofen al midas stom. A person wants to demand rights to his own thing, even if it is midas stom. So let him be like that. We're not going to be kofen that he doesn't act in accordance with midas stom. So says Gemara, lo, that's not the machlokas. The kuli al makofen. Everyone agrees in general we're kofen al midas stom. V'hach ha'henu tamid Rav Shmuel Gamliel da'amr le'lonichli. He says, over here it's a reasonable request that the guy says, I don't want your tainas right next to my tainas in the same shtar. Because if that, that's very intimidating to me, that your tainas are going to be next to my tainas, meaning I feel like I'm losing out when your tainas are next to my tainas. I feel like you're a lion waiting to pounce, and that every single time my tainas are going to be red, it's always going to be red with a bias, because your tainus is right next to it. And I don't want that. I want my tainus to be to stand on their own, and then we can read your tainus. No problem. You can have your own shtar. But that's not considered midas stom. So it's not a machlokas whether kofen on midas stom. It's a machlokas whether this is considered midas stom in the first place. Okay, Mishnah. This stuff is mamish chock full of stuff. Okay, well, there's only so much time. Misha para mixos chov v'hishlo shtaro. Someone who paid part of his chov. So there was a shtar that said that Reuven owed Shimon $100. Reuven paid Shimon $50. What do they do with the shtar that Shimon has that says Reuven owed him $100? So what do? They give it to Levi. Right? They give the shtar to Levi, va'amrlo, and Reuven says to Levi, imlo etein lecha, it should probably be, yeah, imlo etein lecha mikan v'ad yom ploni, if I don't give you the money, the other $50, if I don't give Shimon the money between now and 30 days from now, whatever it is, some artificial date that he sets, tein lo shtaro, I give you, Levi, permission to give Shimon his full shtar back for $100, and then Shimon's going to be able to get the full $100 from me again, he'll be able to get extra money. He gives man for the nasan, the date arrives, and he didn't pay back the balance. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Yitain. Rabbi Yossi says, well, a deal's a deal. He said that you can give back the shtar to Shimon, so give back the shtar to Shimon. Rabbi Yud Omer, lo Yitain. Rabbi Yud says, no, you can't give back the shtar to Shimon. He didn't really mean that. He really thought he was going to be able to pay in time. It turned out that he couldn't pay in time, but he didn't actually mean that he intended for the shtar to be given back to Shimon and to make him be out another $50. What's this machlokas really about? What are they really arguing about? Rabbi Yossi Savar Asmachta Kanya, Rabbi Yehuda Savar Asmachta Lo Kanya. This is what we call Asmachta. This is a major sugya. I guess we'll get more into it when we do Sanhedrin. It's coming up in a couple of weeks, right? Asmachta, that's the gambling sugya in Mesach Sanhedrin. Asmachta is anytime you make it tonight and you're somech in your mind, this is the way at least Rashi translates it, and you're somech in your mind that you're going to be able to control that tonight, that you're going to be able to control that you won't have to fulfill that requirement that you make binding upon yourself because you think that tonight is totally within your control. So we assume that you never had full das to really bind yourself to whatever it is you agreed because you thought you'd be able to fulfill it tonight. Like over here, you didn't really have full das to actually give the shtar back to Shimon that says that you owe $100. You thought you'd be able to pay back the $50 in time. You thought you had enough money, or you would have enough money and you'd pay it back in time. So that's the issue. Is that enough Gemira's das for a kinyan? So Rabbi Yossi says, Asmachta is good enough. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not. Amrav Nachman Rabbarav Amrav Halacha Ki Rabbi Yossi. We passed like Rabbi Yossi that Asmachta is Kanya. Ki Asal came to Rabbi Ami. When they came to Rabbi Ami, Amar Lehu V'Chmiyachus Rabbi Yochanan Melamdenu Pam Rishon of Shnei Alach Rabbi Yossi Ani Ma'aseh. He says, what am I supposed to do? We were taught so many times that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. My hands are tied. I can't do anything but to paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Right? If we were taught so many times that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. Says the Gemara, Ve'en halacha Rabbi Yossi. And we don't paskin like Rabbi Yossi in the end. Rashbam, Afal Pisha Nimuko Imo. It's tremendous chiddush not to paskin like Rabbi Yossi. One of the klalim of halacha is that Rabbi Yossi is Nimuko Imo. That Rabbi Yossi is always very logical, very rational. He always has it figured out. He, whatever he says, he's got, right? He's got very clear. So, nevertheless, we don't pass on Rabbi Yossi. Das machta lo kanya, elm kein konim me bezen chashuv, with lo anis. We need to know that the kinyan was done properly, and asmachta is not a valid form of kinyan. The major question all the Rishonim deal with when it comes to asmachta that we will not deal with, because we only have 7 minutes left, 6 minutes left, is the question of tanai versus asmachta. Isn't every single asmachta just a tanai? Tanai works. You can always make, we learn from B'nai Gad, B'nai Ruven, so sugya and kiddushin, right? So why is tanai any different than asmachta? Right, that's the big discussion we've shown him. We'll remind ourselves to get back to it when we do Sanhedrin. Fine. Mishnah. Misha nimchak shtar chovo. Someone whose shtar chov is erased a little bit. Right? You're missing a few lines in the shtar because there was a leak or something and something got fudged out. Right? Sometimes this happens. Someone had a shayla with their ksuba. That the ksuba that was under some sort of leak or something. It was and some lines got a little bit fudged. You couldn't see all the words. So here you have a Mishnah, often a Mishnah. Misha nimchak shtar chovo. So here you have a shtar chov. What? We found the culprit. Okay, Mishnah Nimchak Shtarchov. Someone who has a Shtarchov who is erased. Mamad Alav Edom. So he can, he should get Edom there. Ubalif Ne Bezdin. And the Edom will come in front of Bezdin. Va'osan Lokium. And they'll be Mekayim it. Right? The Mamad Alav Edom who know when the Shtar was written and what was written in it. And they'll be Mekayim and they'll tell you exactly what was written. So you can rewrite whatever it was that was smudged. Assuming important information was smudged. Right, sometimes it's just Lashonos or Shita Achrona or whatever. So, but if a dollar value is smudged or a person, the person's name is smudged, that's very important. So you make a kiyum Ish Ploni Ben Ploni Nimchak Shtaru, and you write in the kiyum that Ish Ploni Ben Ploni, his shtar was Nimchak, his shtar was erased. Biyom Ploni, and Uploni Uploni Edav, and the following are his edim. So you identify who the edim were. Fine, says the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan. Ezehu kiyumo. What is the kiyum? How does one do the kiyum? By the way, just before we do that, Uploni Uploni Edav says Tosfos. First, he quotes the Rashbam. Who are the Edim that we say Ploni Ploni Edav? Rashbam says that we're referring to the Edim that were originally signed on the Shtar. You verify that who were the Edim that were signed on the Shtar? It was Ploni and Ploni. Says Tosfos Venira Lari. The Ri thinks Shemazkirin Nami, that you also have to mention Ha'edim She'idu She'ro'u Oso Ashtar, the Edim who are right now testifying that they once saw that Shtar, and that they know what it said in that Shtar. Shem Yirtza Alova Yom Alamachal Apaslan, because let's say the Lova today, tomorrow, some other time wants to apostle those Edim, She'yuchal Apaslan, he should at least know who they are to be able to come to apostle them. He says it's very strange that the Gemara doesn't mention that. He says, I don't think the Rashbam is the wrong pshat in the Mishnah. When it says Uploni Uploni Edov, clearly that's referring to the Edom that were signed on the original Shtar. But I just think that's insufficient. it should be that they should also have to record who the Edom are that are telling us that the that they know what was written in the Shtar. And that's not mentioned in the Mishnah or the Gemara, that we need to record that. That's a little bit strange. Okay, says the Gemara, Tanu Rabban, Ezeu Kiyumo, B'mosav Tlasa Avina Anu Ploni Uploni Uploni. Right, we the three Dayanim sat B'mosav Tlasa, Hotzi Ploni Ben Ploni Shtar Machuk Lefanenu. And Ploni Ben Ploni took a Shtar Machuk out in front of us, B'yom Ploni Uploni on such and such a day. Uploni B'yom Ploni on such a day. Uploni Uploni Edav, and his Edomar Ploni and Ploni. V'im Kasabo, who's Kaknu Le'edusan, Shal Edim, V'nim if this Beis Din says that they check out the Edim and they turn out that their Edus is exactly correct, so you could be Gova with the Shtar. And you don't need to bring any further Raya. V'imlav tzarech lavi Raya. But otherwise, you would need to bring a Raya. Nikra pasul, niskara kosher. If the Shtar is Nikra, which we're assuming it now means if a person ripped the Shtar, it's going to be pasul. Niskara, if it clearly accidentally got ripped on its own, then it's kosher. Nimchak or netashtesh, if it got rubbed out a little bit, fudged a little bit, imri shuma nikr, kosher. If you can still tell what it said, so then it's kosher. Right? Hechi dami nikra, hechi dami niskara. So, wait a second. What is nikra versus niskara? So, we translated based on what we're supposed to think, based on Rashbam. Amr Yudah, nikra krash al bezdin, niskara kera she'eno shal bezdin. No, nikra means it was a tear done by Beis Din. Niskara is a tear that obviously wasn't done by Beis Din, that could have been done by accident. And that's why when it's Niskara, it's kosher. Hechi dami keresh al Beis Din. Well, how do you know when Beis Din ripped it up versus another person? Amar b'yudah makom eidim u'makom hazman u'makom hatoref. Because they rip specific spots. They pick the best spots in the whole shtar, and that's where they decide to rip. Abayi amar shasi va'arev. Abayi says they do an X. They rip it in an X in a very specific way. Hanar v'yidasul pumbedisa. There were some Arabs that came to pumbedisa davu ka'ansi arasa de inchi that were taking away land from people. Asumar osayil kamed Abaye, so the owners came to Abaye. Amle lechzi mar shtare v'luchtovlan mar shtar achrina ale. And the guy said, can you write me a second shtar? Because I know these people are going to take away the shtar and I'm not going to be able to do anything. So write me a second shtar, I'll be able to pull out, and because these people are such hoodlums. Di mitnes chad nektin chad biyadan. So that if they confiscate one of the shtaros, I'll at least have another one. Amluhu Abaye said, my evluhu, what do you want me to do for you? Amar Rav Safra, in kolsin shnei shtaros shel soda achas. You can't write two stars on one field. Dilma tarf al de tarf. We're afraid you can try to collect twice. Have katadile. So they bothered Abaye over and over again. Please write a second star. Amle the sarfi zilk sovluhu. Hu alamechek veidav alaniyar de puzzle. Go write a puzzle star for the guy just to get him off my back. I don't need this. Amrle Ravacha bar Minyumin Abaye v'dilma Rishuma Nikr. Maybe it's going to be Rishuma Nikr. V'tanya Nimchak and Natasha Rishuma Nikr Kasher. It may not be puzzle if you write it in that way because it might be Rishuma Nikr. Amrle Abaye said Mikamina Shtar Malia Aleph Beis Bialma Kamina. I didn't mean write a real star. Write the Aleph Beis. I don't care. Just tell the guy that it's a real star. I just want to get the guy off my back. Okay, maybe tomorrow we'll discuss whether it's permissible for a rabbi to trick people like that. Thank you.